We continue now with the fifth installment of, with this compilation of the articles found on the Is, Was, and Will Be site regarding women and their role in the church in the FAQ section of the site. This article is entitled, Can Women Preach? Also Saith the Law. Updated November 2010. Hi Mike, thanks for all your articles. I'm still reading on them. I appreciate your understanding in the matters of the law and agree with what you say. It has really helped me a lot in my walk. Thanks. My question is this. Paul told the church for women not to speak out in the church, and I understand what he meant, but he said the law said for a woman not to speak out in the church. What law? What was Paul talking about? Is that even in the old covenant law for women not to speak out in the church? Thank you for your time, because I know you work hard and do all this without pay. May God truly bless you. Jay. Hi Jay, thank you for your question. I am thankful that you enjoyed the paper on the law. You ask why Paul refers to the law in reference to the role of women in the church. Here is the verse to which you refer, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34. Let your women be silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also says the law. As also says the law is referring to the law of Moses, with which the Corinthian readers would have been very familiar. Not every word of the law has been contradicted, but every word of the law of Moses, which we are here discussing, has been superseded by the law of the Spirit of life. Christ said the thou shalt not commit adultery had been superseded by his but I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Christ did not change the law to, okay, now it's all right to commit adultery. The law also says don't commit adultery, as any of God's elect would agree and teach that the law says. It is still to this day the law which brings us to Christ. It is the law which is not for a righteous man, but is for the lawless and disobedient. And it is that very same law for the lawless and disobedient which God uses to bring us to Christ as a schoolmaster, as a tutor, and a governor. Here is that same phrase in an earlier chapter of the same epistle, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 through 10. Who goes a warfare at any time at his own charges? Who plants a vineyard and eats not of the fruit thereof? Or who feeds a flock and eats not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or says not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads out the corn. Does God take care for oxen? Or says he altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploughs should plough in hope, and that he that threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. The fact that the law of Moses says anything does not in and of itself mean that what the law of Moses says is wrong. The rich young ruler quoted the law when he said, you shall love the Lord your God. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. You and I can tell people to love the Lord your God today, and we can add, as also says the law. But whenever the But I say unto you, law of Christ does contradict the law of Moses, and it does so many times, then we are to obey God rather than man. Moses is the law for the lawless and disobedient. Pointing out that the new does not always contradict the old, does not make the old equal with the new, or place the old over the new. And the fact that the law of Moses required all your males to appear before God 3 times in the year does not mean that under the law women can now be the heads of the household. Exodus 23, verse 17. 3 times in the year all your males shall appear before the Lord God. Women were not even to appear before God under the law of Moses. Does not the law itself tell us that Eve was made for Adam, and Adam and not Adam for Eve? If indeed women can teach men, then I can teach Christ. If it is permissible for a woman to lead her home, then indeed she can lead the church. But that is the exact opposite of what we are told. In 1 Timothy 3, verses 2 through 5, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Are we now, just because we are not under the law of Moses, to be teaching that since we are all one in Christ and there is neither male nor female, that now we can all share the same restrooms and bishops can now be the wife of one husband? Can we now all go around in drag because there is neither male nor female and we are all one in Christ? I do not think that there is neither male nor female, but we are all one in Christ, is to be understood in that way. The way it is to be understood is that even though we are all given differing gifts and differing roles, we are not over one another. We are a body, which is happy and thankful just to be a part of that body. We are all one body in Christ. And what is expected of men is given us in God's Word. What is expected of women is also given to us in God's Word. If women can preach and take care of the church of God, then they can certainly rule their own house and have their children under subjection. And if a woman can do these things, then she can also be the husband of one wife. But a woman cannot be the husband of one wife any more than I can be the head of Christ. The very best witness a godly woman can have is to be of a meek and quiet spirit in this flesh. That is what God is looking for in a godly woman. All of the great sermons by all of the great women preachers of this world do not change these words of God's Word, found in 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 6. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that, if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well. Does any woman want to be of great price in the sight of God? God leaves us all with no excuse. He makes his will known. The question he poses is Luke 6:46, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I hope that this has given you a better understanding of a woman's role under the law of Moses. Under that law, women were not even to appear before God. I hope you see that when Paul or Christ or anyone else appealed to the law of Moses, They were appealing to what is expected from the lawless and disobedient, and not what is ideal or excellent or commendable. It is no doubt hard for a woman to hear men teach lies and not take it upon herself to straighten out those deceits. But whenever a woman preaches, she is really showing how little she regards these sayings of mine. Her preaching and straightening out of the worthless men around her is about as productive as me trying to drag people to Christ. It cannot be done. And a woman cannot be of great price in the sight of God while she is without a meek and quiet spirit. The law of Moses just happens to agree with this New Testament truth. The word silence is a bad translation and should be quiet. A meek and quiet spirit is in the sight of God of great price. It is the simple truth of God's is, was, and will be word. Mike. Our next article in this compilation of women and their role in the church is entitled Regarding the Role of Women in the Church, posted July 8, 2012. Hello again. I received this email today and thought it was good and right on, even though this subject is still fraught with concern for me. I read your article on the website about what it means to prophesy several weeks ago. I need to revisit it, so I can make sure I'm not trying to teach men on the sly by saying I'm prophesying. I sure hope you write some more about this, again, i.e. women's place in the church. I know you've already written about this in a couple of places, but the more ways I can read of people's correct insights on this subject, the better. I still seek to find some other godly women, perhaps through your ministry, who feel this way, so I can ask questions about wifely, womanly things. Please email me back when you get a chance and let me know your thoughts on this article. Thank you, S. Good day to you, S. I am Io Fabier. I have looked at the articles you've attached and his associates' messages about the same issue of women. While it is of utmost importance to compete according to the rules, I have to say they have not taken into account the sum of God's word in the roles of women in the Church of God and the Acts of the Apostles. Psalms 119:160, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances endures forever. ASV version. The sum of the truth in interpreting these scriptures from Paul's mouth is often neglected, and Paul's relationship, fellowship, greeting with the women of his church is rarely highlighted, but only the following verses. 1 Corinthians 14:34, let your women be silent in the churches, for it is not permitted to them to speak, but to be in subjection, as the law also says, and if they desire to learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in a church. And Timothy 2:11-12, let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I do not allow a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man, but to be in silence. I cannot rewrite the paper, The Head of Christ is God, but it gives greater in-depth insight to the meaning and practical application of living the verses above. I kindly ask you to study it again at a convenient time for you. It is a case of going to the extreme and thinking above what is written in the Word of God in teaching that under no circumstance can women speak in the presence of men or post a question, seek the truth of God when an unbelieving husband has not been given the desire or sight for it, or cannot even witness to a man. The mind of men even take it as far as to have visible warning signs and cautionary notices to tell women to stop speaking as soon as any man, irregardless of their faith in God, enters their presence, and even forbids a woman from asking questions on internet forums, chats, or news groups where men are present. This is an example of the inability to handle the sum of the truth in interpreting Paul's words. I quote these two examples from the minds of such men. My emphasis is in bold. Example 1. Ladies, if you feel that God is holding out on you because your husband doesn't know the answers to your questions and you decide to seek out the matter, whether error or truth, for yourself, stop it. Men, if you are allowing your women to engage in such behavior of seeking out the matter of truth or error, stop it. Example 2. So, let's read some of what is written about proper conduct in the household of God, a context that includes behavior both within and without the assembly. To establish the context within which a woman is not to speak, we must know what an assembly is. I believe a valid description is that such an assembly is a gathering for the purpose of fellowship, where praying, audible speaking with tongues and interpretations of tongues, prophecy, or teaching might be brought forth where at least one man is present. Since women may instruct other women, and also children, she must speak to do so. There are kinds of assemblies of the saints where women are permitted to speak. The prohibition applies when an adult male is present. An assembly may be a local physical gathering, or it may be some other forum, such as a conference call, online forum, or chat group, or news group. There are even implications for static websites. The same principles apply to these modern virtual communities as to a local assembly. Where there is a man present, it is improper for a woman to speak, or in an inaudible medium, to present her views to the assembly as though she were addressing the assembly. Such speaking is an exercise of authority granted to men according to the will of the one who has all authority in heaven and earth. Women, if in the fear of God you desire to conform to the Lord's will in this matter, you will not speak publicly in the assembly. If you desire to learn, and so you should, you may ask your own husband at home, which is in private. You may not post questions to a news group, chat, or forum of any kind on the internet that is known to be frequented by men. An acceptable forum for women is one where there is an appropriate cautionary notice for men at every entrance point to the forum. Such a notice should declare that the forum is strictly for women and children only, and give the scriptural reference and an email contact for a responsible male. Men who disregard such by participating in the forum should be corrected by the men responsible in authority over the elder women of the forum and not by the participating women and children themselves. A woman may have a teaching website, but such a notice, as I just described, must be prominently displayed at the top of each entrance point to the site, bearing in mind that unless there is a login authentication procedure, direct access may be to any and every page. A woman may be a silent participant in any of the public assemblies, but this is not the case for a man. Since a woman is not permitted to teach a man is therefore by implication not to be taught of a woman. This means for you men who, in the fear of God, desire to conform to His will, you will not participate in any forum designated as for women, and neither will you seek to receive biblical or spiritual teachings from women in any other context. If it is not permitted for a woman to teach a man, it is most certainly not proper for a man to willfully submit himself to a woman's teachings. End of examples. This is taking a few verses and trying to establish it as the wholesome sum of the truth of God's Word. Truth is never established by a few verses, any more than a few organs or a few body parts equals the whole man or person. The wholesome sum of God's Word is the entire Word of God, which, when diligently sought after, will reveal to us the many roles of a godly woman in her daily walk, and how to conduct herself when she comes together in one place with the rest of like-minded believers. 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private, the Greek word is own, O-W-N, of its own interpretation. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. So, no prophecy of Scripture is to be interpreted outside the whole of Scripture, and wholesome words are the sum of your word. Paul certainly told us the time for women to be silent in the churches and to be under subjection, but the sum of God's word also reveals that there is a time to speak. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 7, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. Christ is the hidden man of the heart in a godly woman, and has a time to be silent, and most definitely when and where to speak. Christ in a woman has many roles in his church, including taking his word to those to whom it is presently dead, whether it be physical men or women, under the prescribed circumstance as being laborers with the overseers of the flock. 1 Peter 3 verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. There are several scriptural examples of women speaking to men on behalf of Christ. In one instance in Scripture, we have women being sent by Christ to witness to men, to a church, that will later become the foundation of the New Testament church. The woman witnessed, but is in no way deluded to now think she is better placed to usurp authority because of the faithless men to whom she has just witnessed. First example, godly women outside of a congregation or gathering of many like-minded believers, the church. Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Verse 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, i.e. a woman given the truth and commissioned by Christ to bear witness to that truth. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And further in verse 10, and then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren, i.e. be a witness of my resurrection that I am alive, that they go to Galilee, and there shall they see me. And in Mark 16, verses 9 through 11, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, i.e. the 11 disciples and all the rest, see Luke 24, 9, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, i.e. by the witness of Mary, typifying all godly women of today, and had been seen of her, believed not, typifying an unbelieving husband or wife. The second example, a woman outside of the church witnessing to men. John 4, verse 16, Jesus said unto her, go, call your husband and come hither. In verses 25 through 29, the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto you am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seek you, or why talk you with her? i.e., why, Lord, are you talking, having conversation, fellowship with a woman? Continue with verse 28. The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city and said to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? The woman talked with Christ, the church, and then became a witness for Christ, directing other men to Christ without seeking fame and congregations. She simply witnessed for Christ, pointing others to Christ to consider, is this not the Christ? Women can certainly point men to the body of Christ to come and see the deeper truth of God. The third example, believing wives who sanctify their unbelieving husbands. 1 Corinthians 7 verses 13 and 14. And the woman which has a husband that believes not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. Peter adds this in 1 Peter 3 verse 1, Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, i.e. without the word being crammed down their unwilling throats by a nagging wife, be won by the conversation, the behavior or conduct of the wives. Can a believing wife really sanctify her husband without speaking and talking or fellowshipping with her husband? Ephesians 5, verses 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Talking and fellowshipping and sharing the truth, witnessing for Christ, is not an indication that the woman is now the biblical authority or a bishop over the church of God. Yet these scriptures are examples of an important role for women in the gospel of Christ. Coming together in one place, a congregation or a gathering of many like-minded believers, the church. Ecclesiastes 3:7, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. As I said before, Paul saying women should be silent in the church is not saying women should be completely mute, dumb, without having any fellowship with the like-minded believers in the church. Being silent is not a literal word which Paul is speaking, any more than literal covering of heads of women. These are hidden parabolic wisdom. The letter kills the understanding of the many called. So here also, it is no more literal than plucking out one's eye or cutting off one's hand. The same literal approach is taken by many women of the world, who are taught by the same men of God, that they literally have to wear a physical covering for their physical head, and men, under any circumstance, must not have their physical hair covered, otherwise they are both in rebellion to God's ways. That is the letter trapping and killing the understanding of many. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 4 through 6. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. This is all in the same epistle to the Corinthians. Both being silent, quiet, covering of head of women, and men's head not being covered, has far more to do with establishing an order for when you come together, and a true Christian's life in not continuing in Babylonish disorder. A man is still the overseer of the church and takes care of the flock of God. Peter was still a leader of the church, even though just a few days earlier he was shown his own unbelief. There were women gathered together, and notice, they also spoke and were subject to Peter's directions, significantly with one accord, and were not just completely mute-dumb, as the natural man understands the meaning of the word. Acts 1 verses 14 and 15, these all continued with one accord, in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Women are together great laborers or helpers with the men in the gospel. And Paul is not silent in telling us what great help and laborers they were with him. In the same book of Corinthians, we have Paul telling us of the church in Priscilla's house, a woman with her husband Aquila. Would it not be foolish to say Priscilla kept literally silent all the time in her own house with her own husband? Would it not be wiser to say at no time did she usurp authority over her husband, nor took over the teachings and leadings of the church in her house? 1 Corinthians 16 verse 19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla, i.e. husband and wife, salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. We see Priscilla as a woman also being a great helper with her husband in bringing Apollos to a more perfect understanding of the Word of God in Acts 18 verses 24 through 26. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Notice they took Apollos aside to themselves, probably out of the synagogue, away from the sight of others. It will not be the sum of the truth to say that Priscilla, as a woman, was banned from speaking or helping her husband, who is the covering of her head. 1 Corinthians 11 verses 5 through 13. This is a place where two or three are gathered, a small church, but under no circumstance are we shown that Priscilla began to dominate or usurp authority over Apollos and her husband Aquila. She was being in silence, in quietness, by being subjected to and by being a great laborer with her husband, which Paul rightly acknowledges to us. Neither did they use their understanding to take over Apollos' old church, but once again, Priscilla and many other women were instrumental in being a witness and laborer for Jesus Christ. We cannot use those words while literally thinking they could not speak to any man under any circumstance within or without the church. Romans 16, verses 3 through 7. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Adronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Helpers. from a presumed compound of G4862 and the base of G2041, a co-laborer, that is, coadjutor, companion in labor, fellow helper, laborer, worker, laborer together with, fellow, work fellow. Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord as become saints, and that you assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for she has been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Paul is not contradicting himself by referring to Phoebe as servant of the church, a succorer or helper of many, while telling us that women should be literally, physically silent in the churches. God has set some women like Phoebe for this specific purpose in his church, to be a helper for many and serve many, which gives a wholesome sum of thy word, meaning to what being silent or quiet means. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, i.e. like Phoebe, governments, diversity of tongues. Just like any word of Paul, he is a minister of the Spirit, not physical letters, and each word has a far deeper revelation than just the literal dictionary definition. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. You and I become quiet and silent in the church of God by being subjected to the authority set by God, when we are told that it is a godly man who can rule over his own house. Very few has even seen there is also a time in the church for a man to be silent even as a woman. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 26 through 30. How then is it, brothers, when you come together, i.e. as in a church, each one of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be for building up. If one speaks in a language, let it be by two, or at the most three, and in succession, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him be silent in a church, and let him speak to himself and to God. And if there are two or three prophets, let them speak, and let the others judge. If a revelation is revealed to another sitting by, let the first be silent. Modern KJV version. This illustrates perfectly the sum of God's truth. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 7, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. There is a pouring out of gratitude from Paul toward the women who have bestowed much labor in the gospel with him. Even in the same book of Corinthians, where Paul sets the order for an orderly church, we are informed where one of the churches is based, that is, in the house of one of the women, Chloe. 1 Corinthians 1:11, for it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in you also. Contrast this with the spirit of quote-unquote men who see Paul's words of silent only in the letters and cannot see beyond what is in the Acts of the Apostles and in the sum of God's word. We cannot conclude that Paul can make so many allusions about women, such as Timothy's mother Eunice, if the women were not even allowed to ask him questions, fellowship with others, do tasks for him on behalf of the church, labor with other men to open the eyes and understandings of other men, such as Apollos, and even have a church or gathering in their household. Paul cannot greatly endorse the faith of Timothy's grandmother and mother if they never spoke to him in the fellowship of the gospel, laboring for the Lord and being helpers to other believers. Whether men or women, there is only one way we can know each other and try the spirits, whether the woman or man is of God or not. Such discerning of spirits cannot be done if every woman were literally dumb or mute in this church of God, where men happen to be present. Fellowship with one another is without sexual discrimination in the church of the living God, the ground of truth. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. There is, however, an order set by God when believers come together in one place, whether it be wives, deacons, bishops, or elders, and these things are written so we may all know, men and women, how we ought to conduct or behave ourselves in the house of God. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And 1 Timothy 3:15 in the modern KJV version, but if I should delay, that you may know how you ought to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. It is written for our edification and not to have a gathering together of disorder and confusion where the divine nature of God is nowhere to be seen. Having the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and his relationship with our God the Father is the means by which we will all escape the disorder and corruption in this present church world and become partakers of the divine nature of God. 2 Peter 1 verses 3 and 4, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That divine nature is shown to us by the things which are made, as we are told by the Apostle Paul and in his letters concerning the role of men and women in the body of Christ, the Church. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him, i.e. the divine nature, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, i.e. nature, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The false doctrine of the Trinity distorts and despises the truth which the Scriptures reveal concerning the whole Godhead and the relationship of the Father and his only begotten Son. And likewise, the popular worldly movement of women ruling and usurping authority over men in the quote-unquote Church of God. The balanced order God gave us in his word is not given to us so we can continue the confusion and disorder that has engulfed the whole world of Orthodox Christianity. Neither is it given to us so men who think they are spiritual can continue to falsely teach that under no circumstance can a woman speak, fellowship in the church, or witness to a man. Such false doctrines amount to being driven back into bondage. It is true that in Christ Jesus there is no male and female. Galatians 3 verses 28 and 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. But this liberating verse of God's word, "You are all one in Christ Jesus," has been greatly violated and perverted by the churches in the wilderness to mean there is absolutely no order anymore. You could compete according to your own rules or interpretation of Scripture, and liberty is supposed to mean everyone can do what is right in their own eyes. Nothing could be further from the truth, because we are specifically instructed that we are not to so much as think above what has been written. 1 Corinthians 4:6. "And brothers, I transferred these things to myself and Apollos because of you, that in us you may learn not to think above what has been written, that you not be puffed up one over the other," which is the LITV version. The natural progression of this lawlessness is that the wife can be the head of her husband. A bishop can be the wife of one husband. Same-sex marriage is fine and justified by "you are all one in Christ Jesus." The sum of the truth is that we are yet in these earthen vessels, and we have this promise, i.e. being in Christ and Christ in us, in the earnest down payment until we are given the purchased possession and God is all in all. Until that time, when we are all full spiritual beings possessing celestial bodies, there are still physical examples which God has set of His divine nature in His body, the church, in which examples we are commanded to walk. Ephesians 1:13-14, "In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." And 2 Corinthians 5:5, "Now He that has wrought us for the same self thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." 2 Corinthians 1:22, "Who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." And 1 Peter 2:21, For even hereunto you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." Christ's example is that He sent Mary, a woman, to witness to men, to His own disciples, and He was risen from the dead, that He was risen from the dead. It is understandable that the things of the Spirit can at first be fraught with concern for all of us. If it were not, then counting the cost, narrow and difficult way, through much tribulation, would be vain words. They are not vain words. Dying to our flesh as women and men, dying to the pride of this life of wanting dominion and authority and ruling over men in the New Testament church, will leave all the women taken by such spirits suffering a deadly wound. This deadly wound will be just as great to the pride of men who see absolutely no fellowship between men and women, and who do not see the importance of women in the body of Christ. All their pride will be wounded by the sword of the Spirit, the obedience to God's word. This grievous wound to their flesh will be by being humbled and subjected to the rules of the one and only husband, Christ Jesus. It is great reward and abundance of joy to the holy women who are subjected to their own husbands at home and in the many-member church. Even of those husbands at this time who are not subject to the law of Christ, we are told their husbands can be won over without a word, which is by the woman's manner of life, behavior, not by taking on a new vocation and self-anointing of being a bishop over one husband. Neither are we saying that the woman should become a literal physical mute to the husband, any more than being silent is by literally cutting off the physical tongue. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 5. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation, the behavior or conduct, of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the Spirit, i.e., the true divine nature of Christ in that woman, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Holy women of old, who were adorned with the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, still spoke with and communicated with their husbands when God inspired them to do so. Genesis 21, verse 12. And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in your sight because of the lad, and because of your bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto you, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall your seed be called. Being called a weaker vessel is in the same sense we are all weak and of total dependence on our husband, Jesus Christ. It is not by being literally dumb and mute, but only very few have spiritual sight to see that women will be heirs together through their submission and obedience of the divine order God instituted from the beginning. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And 1 Corinthians 12, verse 22 and 23, But much rather the members of the body, seeming to be weaker, i.e. weaker vessel, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we put more abundant honor around them. And our unpresentable members have more appropriate propriety. Modern King James. Women are loved and cherished in the New Testament church, and we only have to look at the sum of God's word and greetings by Paul to understand how much abundant honor and cherishing he gives to the quote-unquote weaker vessel, as the Lord, our husband, loves the church. Ephesians 5, verse 28-29, So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. Growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord does not negate or contradict being content with the role the Lord has placed us in his body, as men and women, to witness to others, to fellowship in his word, to have an order in our church or our gatherings where a man appointed of God who can take care of his own spiritual house can also take care of the church of God. Here is one final example of where a woman spoke in public, in Christ's presence, and the Holy Spirit has seen fit to preserve this event for us, for our admonition, as an example of a woman praising Christ in public, who still demonstrates a meek and quiet spirit, in Luke 11, verses 27 and 28. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice, and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare you, and the paps which you have sucked. But he said, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God, and keep it. I am glad you are seeking other godly women, in whom Christ is manifesting the divine nature of God. As you might already know, they are a few and scattered bunch. I will let Mike put you in touch when he is given more time to contact other women who can assist you in fellowshipping and clarifying wife and womanly things. Your brother, Io Fabii.